This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Earlier this month, Cincinnati got some news it's been waiting decades for. The results of the 2020 U.S. Census revealed the Queen City gained people for the first time since the 1950s, an enormous milestone in a state where only one other city, Columbus, can boast the same. Of course, Columbus can boast by a much larger number than Cincinnati. But we're now at 309,317 residents here in Cincinnati. That's a significant rise from 10 years ago, but still a far cry from the city's high water mark of more than 500,000 people in the 1950 census. So what does that extra 4% boost in population mean for the city? And when will we know more granular data about how its various neighborhoods changed over the last 10 years? I spoke earlier with City of Cincinnati City Planning and Engagement Department Director Catherine Keogiors about it. And here's our recorded interview. Joining us now is Catherine Keogiors, the director of the Cincinnati Department of Planning and Engagement. Catherine, welcome back to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, you are in the city of Cincinnati, where there are apparently more people in the city of Cincinnati. The census confirmed that for the first time in many, many decades, the population has increased. So what do we know right now about that?
Yes, it's very exciting. Our population was 309,317 people as of the April 1st, 2020 Decennial Census, which those numbers just came out in the past month or so. And Hamilton County also saw an increase of their population up to 830,639.
So we know the metro area has grown all this time as the city's population had decreased. It seemed that a lot of the people who were leaving the city proper were just going to other parts of the local region. So the metro area's population is still pretty significant and always was. Why is it important for the city proper to have its population increase?
Well, I think that we've known for some time that Cincinnati was a growing city, and we're happy to see that show in the census numbers. Cincinnati has been working to increase job opportunities for quite some time, and also to provide different housing options for people. So we're starting to see that bear out in the numbers.
Okay, and so what exactly do you do with these numbers at the city level?
Well, right now what we have is that basic population number. And on about September 30th, we are expecting the U.S. Census Bureau to release additional data that will be a little bit more user-friendly and much more detailed. And so they will be releasing all of the data that was gathered in the 2020 Decennial Census. And we at Department of City Planning and Engagement will take those numbers and will create individual profiles for each one of Cincinnati's neighborhoods, for each one of our statistical neighborhoods, to show how that neighborhood has changed in the last decade.
Okay. And then when you talk about creating a profile, what does that mean exactly? What will we learn in those profiles?
Well, so we'll be starting with the data that was gathered in that decennial census. There were, 11 questions that were asked on the census form. And they were pretty basic questions. How many people live in your household, and then some specific demographic data about each one of those persons. So age, gender, race, and then how people in that household are related to each other, or what the makeup of the household is. And then a little bit of information about the housing unit itself. Is it owned? Is it rented? Is it vacant? Is it occupied? And that's where we'll start with our data, is to show just really some of the basics about how many people live in each neighborhood, a little bit of demographic data about those people, and then some information about the housing unit.
So we'll have some information about the number of people. We'll have the breakdown of their demographics, and then some applicable data related to the housing opportunities in those areas. What do you do with it, though?
Well, I think that the data is used for a lot of reasons. So, of course, the city uses the data for making decisions. But also, we have found that folks outside the city, outside of the city administration, are using it as well. So people are using it when they're applying for grants. Neighborhoods themselves are using it to see how they've changed, see who their constituent groups are. And really, because it is publicly available, we find that people are using it really just to see who we are and help make decisions and to help with future funding opportunities.
We're talking with Catherine Keogh-Jours, the director of the City of Cincinnati Department of Planning and Engagement. So when we talk about breaking down the neighborhoods, we know that Cincinnati has 52 neighborhoods. When you talk to people from those neighborhoods, particularly active members of the communities who might serve on the community councils, for example, they might think that their boundaries are different. Or you might have someone like me who lives on the Kentucky side of the region and just thinks it's all Clifton once you get north of Liberty Street. So how important is it in defining those boundaries while you do this work?
Oh, it's extremely important. And one of the most important pieces to us is to keep those boundaries consistent throughout the decades. Because obviously, if we are looking to compare Cincinnati in 2020 to Cincinnati in 1950, 60, 70, 80, 90, 2000, we want to be able to do that in a way that's consistent. So we have a special set of boundaries that we use. I'm going to get a little wonky for a moment. I apologize for that, but we call them our statistical neighborhood approximations. And those geographies are roughly aligned with what people consider to be their community boundary, but they are based on the census tracts and the census block groups themselves. And the census tracts and the block groups do not change significantly from decade to decade. The U.S. Census Bureau is very particular about trying to keep those geographies kind of as intact as they can and change as little as they can, just so that when we are making those comparisons over the decades, we're doing it in a consistent geography.
I know we're still waiting on some more granular data, some more specific data for parts of town, but what do we know so far, if anything, about particular neighborhoods?
Well, at this moment, we do not know anything specific about any particular neighborhoods, just because we are waiting for that specific data. We do know that one of the things that we do to prepare for the decennial census, each time it comes around, is we work really diligently here for about 2 years before the census to really do a deep dive on our own permitting information to see where growth has occurred, and to make sure that the Census Bureau has every accurate residential address in the city of Cincinnati, so that they can make sure that each one of those addresses gets a census form. And so we do know that there have been additional residential units built in a number of neighborhoods like downtown and Cuff and Oakley and Coryville and Madison. So we know that there is Madisonville, Northside, Mount Auburn, Over the Rhine, Pendleton, Westwood. Those have all seen growth in building permits, at least over that decade. So we will see how the census data bears out.
But we don't know precisely yet exactly where these new people are in town.
That's correct.
I think they might be using our parking garage here in the radio station. It's getting a little crowded there in the West End. So just keep an eye out for that data around Music Hall.
I'll do that. Thanks.
All right. So when you wait for this type of data to come in, how competitive do cities get? Cities of comparable size, I think a lot of times when you're at Chamber of Commerce events, for example, they talk about peer cities. Is there jealousy? Is there rivalry? Sure. And how upset are you that Columbus has just skyrocketed in population?
Well, we try not to take it too personally, but I think Columbus certainly grows in different ways. I believe they do some annexation and that may be part of it. We are really very, very pleased at the numbers. We will, of course, be looking at the details to see if a challenge is appropriate. 2020, as you know, was a really interesting year to do a census with the pandemic, coupled with the fact that the Census Bureau was doing the census online for the first time instead of sending people paper forms. It really was a unique year. So we were really anxious to see what the numbers look like on a more granular level. I will say that we did look up some peer cities, and of the major cities in Ohio, other than Columbus, of course, Cincinnati is the city that saw growth We also did notice that Cincinnati did surpass both Pittsburgh and St. Louis in size in 2020. So for those Cincinnati Reds fans out there, or Bengals fans,
yeah, right.
That does give, you know, another point of pride, I think.
Well, that might just mean that there's more disappointed Cincinnatians in football season when the Steelers roll into town. I don't mean to be pessimistic. The season hasn't started yet, but we shall
don't
see.
Say that. Don't say that.
We shall see what happens. But what do you think? I mean, I know you work for the city, so you might be a bit biased, but what's happening in Cincinnati that allowed for it to show growth this time?
Yeah. Well, again, as I said, we've really been focusing on job growth. When you grow jobs, you bring people to your city. Those people need places to live. And so we think that certainly that had something to do with it. You also see Cincinnati show up on a lot of kind of best of lists when we start looking around at sort of marketing materials that are out there. I think that more people are starting to discover Cincinnati for the gem that it is. I really have to give a shout out at this point to our Complete Count Committee. So Greater Cincinnati Counts, which was what's called the Complete Count Committee of both Cincinnati and Hamilton County. And this was a joint effort between the city and the county. This was over 200 organizations that were all throughout Cincinnati and Hamilton County who were reaching out to their own constituent groups to make sure that people understood that the census was coming up, understanding what the importance of it was from a particularly from a funding perspective and a representation perspective. And they worked extremely hard, even through the pandemic, to spread the word about the importance and the safety of the census. And whenever possible, due to the fact that you could fill out the census online, whenever there was an event, the members of the Complete Count Committee were there with iPads and cell phones who were helping people fill out the census. And so we really just are so grateful to all the folks that were part of that committee who spent so much time and did so much work to spread the word about the importance of the census.
We're talking to Catherine Keogiors, the director of the City of Cincinnati Department of Planning and Engagement. Well, we know data about where folks came from, and I guess I'm more curious now, not just about people who came from elsewhere, but do you get information about what I might call intra-regional movements? So you were talking about job creation being a big attraction for new residents, but you could have a new business locate in downtown Cincinnati and live just about anywhere in the region and just commute. But is there going to be data that says that this many people moved from Butler County, for example, into the city?
I believe, and I don't know for certain, but I believe that data might be available in the American Community Survey, which is the annual,
right.
Which is the annual count that the Census Bureau does. Of course, the decennial count is everyone, everyone nationwide. The American Community Survey is something that takes place annually, but has a much smaller reach. They survey a much smaller number of people, but they ask much more detailed questions. And so that data might be available there.
We do have some demographic data about the U.S. Census as it relates to Cincinnati. And one trend that we're seeing is that the Black population in Over the Rhine, for example, has declined by about 43% in the past decade. And the number of white residents increased in that neighborhood by 90%. What type of work does the city do when evaluating that type of data?
Well, I think first we need to see the data. I think that we will certainly take a look at that and make those comparisons, make sure that we are comparing same geographies from 2010. And I think we'll have to see what that looks like when we actually get the numbers and start putting them together to see how things have changed.
What type of response is there from the government when you might see what some might consider, I've seen it classified by one Earlham College economics professor in a report from WCPO, for example, as the market being a segregation machine. And I think that's to suggest that some parts of the city have been improved at the expense of people who had already been living there. Does that adjust the planning department or the city in general strategy in creating place here?
That certainly sounds like a policy decision. And that's certainly something that our elected officials will have to look at once the numbers come in.
Okay. And again, I know that there are certainly elected officials at the city level who will execute some policy, and perhaps that might drive a lot of what you're doing in the planning department. But as this demographic data comes in, you're creating neighborhood profiles and all of that. But does that data itself dictate any action or policy change within the departments, just at the staff level?
Again, I think we'll have to see what the data looks like when we get it. I don't know that I can answer that question right now.
All right. And again, you've complimented the Cincinnati Complete Count Committee. And those were the, I guess, 200 organizations that helped work on spreading the word about the census within the city to ensure that as many people as possible were counted. What do you think we learned in the effort this year when looking at what might be characterized as more normal years where we were able to be out and about and around each other? The pandemic was obviously a big challenge in a lot of ways last year, but to have it coincide with the census was just one of many challenges. Did we learn anything? You did talk about the online thing. Do you think that might be something that sticks around?
Well, that's a great question. And actually back in 2010, people were asking why the census was not available online at that time. I don't think the Census Bureau was ready for it at that point. But of course they were for 2020. I think that one of the most effective things that we did in 2020 was, despite the pandemic, to really have that individual outreach to people from people that they knew and people that they trusted, who were able to say, this is important, it's safe, and it's easy. To be able to explain to people why it was important to fill out the census, and to explain to people that their data would not be compromised, that there are very, very stringent privacy laws that are related to census data, and that any information that they were providing through this process would be kept private for 72 years. It will not be released for 72 years. So I think those were some of the things that were extremely important. I think we also learned through this process that being more targeted was really important in past Complete Count Committee efforts. We've done maybe a little bit more general marketing. And while that is important, and you have to do that, it's also really important to target communities that are hard to count. We also introduced some digital marketing into the process this time, and we're able to target that to specific areas that maybe their self-response was not. We were getting numbers about percentage of self-response that were coming in, and we were able to specifically target that. So this was really 2020 was a year that technology really helped, especially in terms of the pandemic.
I think we've established why the census is important to the local government and why the local government wants to have an accurate count of its people. Why is it important to the average person in the city? I know that's part of the marketing when you're getting people to sign up, yeah. But now we don't have to do that again for 10 years. And now we're just waiting on the data, the results of that initial marketing effort. So why should the average Cincinnatian be paying attention to this type of conversation and the type of other journalism that will be done when more data is released and we learn more about who makes up this community?
Yeah. One of the most important reasons is simply to be counted, simply to be represented in those numbers. And to have, to have yourself be counted, to know that you are here. Of course, we don't know, individual data about people, but it's really hard to know how to make decisions unless you know who you're making decisions for.
And as you start to wait for this next piece of data that's coming out from the U.S. Census, and you create your community profiles and your neighborhood profiles, where will people be able to dive into that if they want to? Is there some sort of database that you maintain publicly for people who might want to look a little more deeply into their more immediate part of Cincinnati?
Sure. Sure. Well, you know, the data that the U.S. Census Bureau puts out is completely public. And so just going to their website at census.gov is going to, once that data is available, there will undoubtedly be a place right front and center on their page. They usually change the format of the analysis tool that they create every decade. But you should be able to search for, data for your community all the way down to the block level. There's the census tract, the census block group, and the census block. You should be able to search for certain data all the way down to the block level, or any other community across the country. So it's a great tool, and it's usually pretty user-friendly. We, of course, will have profiles that we will put up on our website, at the City of Cincinnati's website, on the City Planning and Engagement section. But it's going to take us a little bit of time to put those together because they're so important and they're so detailed that we're not going to rush it. We're really going to put our time into it to make sure that we do it correctly. But on September 30th, from what I understand, when it is released, anyone can go out there and look up any place nationwide.
And lastly, Catherine, what type of marketing plan is being kicked around in the city that you might put on billboards along Interstate 71 to get some of that Columbus overflow back down this way?
I don't know. I'm sure someone's working on that.
Catherine Keogh-Jores is the director of the City of Cincinnati Department of Planning and Engagement. Catherine, thank you so much for the time you gave us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.